with Aaron Dowd.
I throw balls far. You want good words? Data language.
Talk real sports with a real man.
Come after me. I'm a man. I'm 40.
And now, here's the be-all, end-all, know-it-all of high school, college, and pro sports. Aaron Skinny Cowk with The Skinny on Sports.
We're talking about practice, man. I'm the MVP.
Good Wednesday morning out there, Western Oklahoma. Welcome to The Skinny on Sports right here on 98.1 FM, The Sports Animal. Glad to have you along for the next hour. Got all kinds of different topics today. The soap opera surrounding Kevin Durant. Earlier this week, he made his feelings known that he wanted a new coach, which, by the way, he handpicked a new general manager for the Nets because it feels like maybe he sees the writing on the wall that a deal isn't imminent for him to get out of Brooklyn. And a refreshing thing happened when he made those demands. We'll talk about that. Does the way that the Thunder handled Kevin Durant make them look better than maybe people thought at the time of him leaving? It's a bunch of different topics surrounding that. Media rights in college football. Big Ten making massive moves, possibly, to really revamp what we're looking at. Is that bad news for the Big 12, the ACC, and the Pac-12 with what's being reported? Does that force those conferences' hands to maybe go more of the streaming route, which may be good for the Big 12 in some ways? What will the what would the schedule look like on a, let's say, a normal Saturday? What are these talks make that look like as far as your enjoyment and what time things are going to happen and where and all that? And then also Sam Hartman, the great quarterback for Wake Forest, is out indefinitely with non-football related medical issues. Wonder what that could be. I hope it's not what I think it might be. Because if it is, he's hardly going to be the first and the only one of these guys that are going to be dealing with this. Also, the Oak City Fast Pitch Festival almost got finished. Oak City's portion did. And then we were all almost finished there. Right when that one bolt of lightning. Brian LeGrand, I did not know he could move that fast still when that thing hit. So it was just about wrapped up. We'll talk about that. Really cool moment in Little League World Series regional tournament from a kid from right here in Oklahoma. And then a judge rules against the LIV players playing in the FedEx Cup playoffs. What does that mean moving forward? Cam Smith, newly minted British Open champion, is he gone to the LIV Golf Tour? Lots of different things going on in the world of sports. 225-9698 is the phone or the text line. That's 225-9698. Give us a call, shoot us a text. Talk about any of those things, whatever else might be on your mind. Feel free to chime in at 225-9698. If you're going to be outside the listening area, a couple ways to stay in touch with the show. One of those is to log on to KADSAM.com. The other is to download the Paragon Communications app. The app's got it all. It's got three radio stations. It's got the Penny News, brand new edition of the Penny News. Hit the website last night at midnight. Check it out, thepennynews.com. The print edition will start filtering out this afternoon into this evening. Of course, by tomorrow, pick up a free copy of the print edition of the Penny News. Big Oak TV and Paragon TV will be back on the air in almost 2 weeks. Big Elk's hosting Altus on August 26th. Hollis hosting Wilson on August 26th, and the Merritt Oilers get going on the 2nd of September, Labor Day weekend. So we'll have high school football for you there. And, of course, the Skinny on Sports podcast, iTunes, KADSAM.com. If you missed the show entirely, you can go back and check us out that way. Hello, Jared.
Good morning.
How are you?
I'm very well. How are you?
I'm getting rain?
Yes.
How much?
I don't know. I was thinking about that driving in. I didn't even look at my rain gauge. But it was a steady sprinkle, heavy to steady sprinkle throughout most of the night. So it was nice. It was refreshing.
Yeah, at first
puddles this morning. You know, it was at least a good amount of rain, enough to leave puddles the next morning.
It was the first time I can remember. I was backing out of the driveway, and the sun was hitting the grass right there on the edge of the driveway, and I could see some like water droplets on the blades of grass.
Yeah.
I thought, huh.
It's very nice.
Perfect timing by me to mow the yard when I did.
Hey, good for you. Good for you.
That means you didn't.
I did not. Not, man, time is of an essence, man. I cannot find it, but I'll find some. But yeah, I like that rain. It was nice. When I was leaving here last night, you know, it was raining pretty good. We that softball game timed out just perfectly. And by the time I got home, it wasn't as heavy, but I was like, it's coming. I could tell it was coming, and it did. It was nice.
Yeah, very nice. Yeah, in between here and Sayre, there was water standing. We were watching it on the radar, kind of sitting there waiting to see if the game was going to start, and it just blew up right over the interstate almost, dead between Elk City and Sayre. It rained really good there. But, yeah, hopefully everybody got a little bit. Probably not as much as you want, but it's better than nothing. That softball festival did wrap up yesterday. And, man, Elkettes looking good. 3-0 by a combined score of 30-1 as they had two shutout wins in run rule fashion in three innings. Yesterday it was against Visai, also beat Texoma 12-0, and then a 6-1 win against Chickasha. You know, I think that, and this was kind of the common theme from the parents I talked to afterwards. Good start. It was a lot of fun to see, you know, hitting the softball the way they did. I mean, yesterday was just from the jump, and something that I'm going to get into. But from the jump, the Elkettes were just tattooing the ball. Even a bunch of the outs were hit really hard. Mm-hmm. So that's a good sign. So Elk City goes 3-0. Trying to make their first state tournament run in the program's history. Fast pitch has never been there. From the info I could gather from the folks that have been around the longest and remember stuff like that. So a good start. And now I think the anticipation now is, okay, now what happens if a Tuttle, a Blanchard, some of those, stalwarts in Class 4A, ready to see how you stack up against some of those teams.
And I'm sure they're anxious to get to those, but there's a plethora of good games between now and then before those big games set in. So just one game at a time. I'm just giving coach speak here. But, I mean, it was nice to see how they came out and jumped on a very good, and I still believe they're a very good Visai team. But Elk City is just a very good team as well, and very maybe one of the top teams in the state, top four maybe. I mean, you mentioned those two. It's still really, really early. It's something we're going to have our finger on the pulse of, and I'm anxious to see them go up against the better pitchers of the state. We kind of saw that with Chickasha. I wouldn't say the state, but you know what I mean. They quickly knew they needed to get their number one in. And then their bats were stalled a little bit, but then they figured it out and came alive. The Elkettes did. So I'm just, I know it's just three games. It's exciting, outscoring their opponents 30-1. Let's get some more competition. Let's see how this happens. I know you're ready to book a hotel room already for state.
No, that's not what I'm saying. Honestly, it's exactly the opposite.
Yeah,
that's not what I'm saying at all. It's let's see what happens when they play the better people.
Right, that's what I'm looking for.
The jury is way out. But
I'm not trying to throw water on this fire.
I feel like you are.
No. I just it was.
Here you go. This is the dad. One of the dads texting in. Easy now. Keep them humble.
That's what I'm saying. That's what I'm trying to say.
To anybody they beat, but yeah. They're going to see way better pitching before this thing is over.
Yeah, that's what I'm anxious to see, because those bats were on fire this festival. I want to see some better pitching and see how they fare against them, and I think they're going to be okay against some really good pitching.
The one thing that is noticeable, and I think this happens in all level of either baseball or softball, it really helps to have people on base early, and my goodness, Ella Satilli.
Yeah.
Her and Abby both, when they were up there, and some of the other, some of the other girls hit it hard, but did it not feel like just the way, it just looked like those two were seeing the ball, comfortable as they could possibly be in the batter's box. And, like, when they didn't just rip it, you were kind of surprised.
Yeah.
And it's like it only happened for, like, one time for both of them, where it wasn't just an absolute line drive. Now, it might have been at somebody and got caught. But they were just so comfortable in the box. It just, you know, you can kind of see that in baseball. You can see it in softball, where just before the pitch is even thrown, it's like, uh-oh, this person's ready to hit. You know what I mean? It just, and that's the way it looked for both of those girls this week. So that's, anytime you can get that kind of production from the top of your order, man, it just opens up everything.
Well, yeah, I mean, that goes into that narrative of hitting is contagious. I like the idea of putting the very best. I don't know, the conventional wisdom is put your best batter in the four hole, and that's very true. But when you could put someone who can get on base at the one spot or even the two spot, like, I mean, Jocelyn Alo batted two hole. You know, a lot of people are like, why is she in four hole? Well, didn't really matter, but
because you want them to bat as many times as possible.
Exactly. So, but that hitting contagious factor, though, you get them up top, and then she starts them off, and the rest kind of follows suit. You don't have to wait for a few at-bats to get to there. So, but that's not taken away from the rest of the bat. I mean, we just mentioned a couple. Up and down that lineup this whole last 2 days, they were hitting the ball really hard.
Yeah, it was 4-0 last night. Before you could even kind of look up.
And like a lightning strike, boom, 4-0.
Which was something that probably didn't need to be said last night. Everybody on edge, kind of looking around. But, no, it was a good start, no doubt about it. And so now, this week is what it is, played Hobart. But eventually you're going to start seeing in the district. Now, Weatherford was undefeated over there this week as well with a 3-0.
Mm-hmm.
So that's somebody that's obviously right there that will be have to be contended with within the Elkettes district. But yeah, that's the you see the potential now. Let's really see it when some of the better the 4A competition starts to come. It's where I'm at, and then you kind of you see where you stack up. It's really similar in a lot of ways to where everybody was with Big Elk baseball early on in the season last year.
A lot of expectations, high expectations. And
you could tell they're good. How good? We'll find out. Mm-hmm. And then as the season went along, it's like, huh, pretty good. And then right before the playoffs, going to Tuttle and winning, it was like, whoa.
Right. Yeah.
Wait a minute. This could be a state tournament team. And of course it was, and one that had every chance to play in the state finals. So that's, you know, not saying, but you see the parallels of the expectations mm-hmm. are high. And can they be met? And so far, it was a really good start for them.
Here's the deal, folks. Go out there and watch them.
It's fun to watch.
It's a fun brand of softball to watch. Trust me, I've seen a lot of softball. This is a fun group of girls. Go watch them. You're looking for a schedule, follow them. They got a great Facebook page. The Booster Club does. Follow them, and you get all the updates there. And, of course, Big Elk TV you can watch. But some key dates, just looking at it right now. I think one of the first real big tests. Now, I know there's a tournament coming up over in Mangum. Am I correct?
Hobart, I think.
Thank you. They play Mangum, I believe. And, you know, they'll go up to Woodward on the 16th. Tournament over in Prague. I don't know the bracket on that one. But August 22nd, Tuttle comes to town. I think it's
a week from Monday.
I think I'm putting a call out right here. Let's pack that place and let's have fun.
Yeah, go see what it's like. I mean, that's a good early season kind of barometer.
Yeah.
And then you know what you have to work on to get into that kind of mix. So, yeah, that's good stuff. Did you see what happened yesterday in the Little League World Series?
I did see
regional?
That.
How cool was that? Kid from Tulsa was at the plate, got hit. It looked like he was going to get hit in the face. But it might have clipped his helmet anyhow. So he goes down to first, shook it off. He was fine. But then the pitcher was really kind of distraught over – struggling, but also when you see that, I mean, I think it kind of bugged him. And the kid that got hit came to the mound and was like consoling him, telling him, just throw strikes, buddy, you're doing good. You know, it was a really cool moment that you just don't get to see much in competitive sports like that, to where you know, the sportsmanship of the highest order. And I saw some people commenting on, you know, this is why baseball's soft. I mean, come on. These kids are little kids trying to, you know, just be little kids. I thought it was really, really cool what happened there in that Little League World Series regional.
Yeah, that was really neat. And it blowing up, going viral, and you know, watching slow-mo. And I remember growing up being hit in the ear hole before. And it doesn't hurt, but it's very, very loud. I think that's why he went down like that, because he didn't know how bad was it, the kid who got hit. He popped up, and he realized he's fine, and he noticed the pitcher just, you know, beside himself with, I guess, guilt and just felt really bad about the situation. And that was a neat moment. I mean, just dropped his helmet, walked over there, put his arm around him, said, "Hey, I'm good. Let's go." So, yeah, it's the human element of sports that's really cool. And you don't see it. It's hard to see anymore. It's hard to find it. But usually it's cool to see it at that level with those kids. You know, they're still growing up. They're still becoming young men and ball players. And I hope that just – maybe that's a turn. Maybe that's a inspiration for other athletes. You know, those – like the big guys. You know, look at those. That stuff. That's pretty cool stuff. It was a pretty neat moment. I also thought it was cool. It was Oklahoma kid, like you said, playing a Texas team. You know, I'm sure there was a rivalry there probably that was embedded by their parents. Okay, you've got to beat Texas. You've got to beat Oklahoma. And those kids shook that off and said, "Don't care. I'm going to go over there and hug that kid."
Yeah, it was really cool. You just don't get to see that basically anywhere outside of little kids. From the cool of sports to – something that I think is it's been a little bit ugly, and it's going to just get worse. And that is the LIV Golf versus the PGA Tour. 11 of those guys that defected to the LIV Golf Tour filed a motion to be able, three of them wanted to be able to play in the FedEx Cup playoffs, which are coming right now, coming up Thursday. It was Hudson Swafford, Taylor Gooch, and Matt Jones. Phil Mickelson was also involved in the suit for different things. Judge yesterday said, no, absolutely not. You cannot play for the PGA Tour playoffs because of what you've got contract-wise with LIV. It's really kind of strange because in some ways, the contracts that these guys have signed with LIV, it looks like might even be more restrictive than what they're fighting against with the PGA Tour. I mean, some of the different things.
Like I haven't seen any kind of contract details with the LIV.
There's some things, you know, if you're going to play, if you were allowed to play on the tour, you have to wear like LIV stuff. I mean, there's just different little things in there that kind of go against what they're supposedly fighting for.
Yeah.
Which makes you kind of go back to the, well, let's just be honest. This deal is all about the money, you know.
Wow, and so, that's day one stuff right there. Yeah.
but now when you actually see, you know, they can sit there and say, oh, it's for the good of the game, and then once some of the stuff starts coming out in court, I think that it's not gonna help the perception a whole bunch of the LIV guys. Now that doesn't mean that what they're doing they can't do. In my mind, it's still. I think it's still something that has been needed. If for nothing else, then to get the PGA Tour off of their butt and start doing these guys right with the money. I mean, I think people, even the ones that are fighting fiercely for the PGA Tour, once everything kind of comes to light, will admit, oh my gosh, in a lot of ways, these guys were right. Hmm. You know, what I'm trying to say is if you're out there being a proponent of NIL and paying college athletes because, you know, the conferences and the NCAA is keeping all the money, well, then you have to be on the side of LIV Golf too, at least the players part of perspective, because that's a lot of what's happening, where the PGA Tour is kind of hoarding a lot of the things that probably, in money-wise, a lot of the money that really needs to go back to the players. And you can see that already happening because – out of the blue, we've got 55 more million for this series, and every single purse is going up. Did they just raise that money? No, it's always been there. And I think that I think LIV Golf will be around to some extent. It looks like they're going to try to use Australia for some tournaments next year, which makes sense. Australia is a golf-loving country that has been, frankly, ignored by the PGA Tour, which has been probably hasn't been a good thing if you're wanting to spread the game. So there's some interesting little tidbits, and it's more just outside of the guys not being able to play this in the playoffs. I think it gives you an idea of what, because there's more coming, and it's going to be a giant court battle for these guys that are defective. But you kind of see their arguments, at least to start with, you know, what they're going to be now. Is this ruling a precursor of what's to come? It's hard to tell. But I think you're kind of seeing in this first court proceeding where everybody stands and how they're going to try to approach this thing.
Yeah, it's odd. It's one of many court rulings I think we're going to see here in the next few months regarding all this. I was thinking about this in the drive the other day. Between the LIV and the PGA, you know what it reminds me of? Pro wrestling in the late 90s. You got your WCW and your WWE. You got wrestlers going back and forth, in some cases golfers in this situation. Wouldn't it be kind of fun to have a LIV versus PGA event?
Absolutely.
Wouldn't that be fun?
Yes. I mean, you know, it's...
like, couldn't they come together and figure something out, find out some way to...
or just hate each other and figure something out.
Yeah, that too. But I mean, come together as far as winner gets this person, all this stuff. I mean, some kind of fun event.
Yes.
Sign me up.
Yes.
I'll pay for that pay-per-view.
Well, and LIV's chances got better yesterday, as reportedly. And if you listen to how he answered the questions at the FedEx Cup pre-tournament press conference, it's obvious. Cameron Smith is going to LIV Golf.
Oh yeah,
the reigning British Open champion. He had the same answer that say Brooks Koepka or some of the others had right before it was officially announced. Well, no comment. I'm just here to do my best at this tournament. Yeah, he gone. Reportedly for $100 million. Another interesting thing that came out of the stuff yesterday. Love him or hate him, it looks like Brandon Chambly might have been right as far as the way the money works. Some of these, you know, they're signing these contracts with LIV Golf, but then those purses kind of go against that, not in addition to that.
Yeah.
Which is kind of an interesting thing. But, yeah, this fight is long from over. But as it's gone along, and I think part of the reason why the LIV has picked up steam as far as more players, younger players, and quite frankly, better players, is these guys are talking to each other, and those guys at LIV are going, you can't believe how we're treated. I know the caddies are. You know, the caddies, instead of doing all this on their own dime, all of it's picked up.
Mm.
They're actually getting to the restrictions against the caddies are almost none, and LIV Golf is taking care of those guys way to a way, way, way higher level than what it's done on the PGA Tour. So, you know, it may be one of those, at the end of the day, we see it in basketball. You always hear, like, the free agents talking about, wow, I went here because this organization treats their players better than what I was getting treated where I was.
Right.
You know, by certain owners with certain perks and that kind of thing. Maybe that's where this ends up is, you know what? I'd rather get treated like this than like that.
Well, sure. Who wouldn't want to go to a better working environment?
Yeah.
Yeah. It's just fun for the fans, for me anyways, who's just kind of a novice golfer/fan, just to sit back and see what happens next.
How long do you think it'll be before LIV Golf is on TV?
Not long. The real question is on American TV.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about. Yeah.
Okay.
Who picks this thing up?
Yeah. That is a great question.
Because that's when you know it's for real.
Right. And then who's going to be brave enough to pick it up? Because if they do, then they're cutting off their own hand, I guess, with the PGA. They're like, okay, PGA is like, then you're not getting any of our stuff ever.
Right.
You know what I mean? Uh-huh. You're shunned. Shame. Ding. Shame. Well, you know? So that who's brave enough to do it? Or is it somebody that's never, like, we don't care. We've never had a PGA event on our network. And so we're going to dive into the golf game with these guys.
I mean,
by the way, we're going to get paid more than the PGA would pay us.
The obvious one is Fox.
Yeah.
Because they, you know, they had the U.S. Open, tried it for a couple of years, and now that's back away from them. But, you know, they have the multiple channels with the FS1s and that kind of thing. But it
my only pause to that is
the timing of it, because they have jumped so far in the college football game.
Well, yeah, that too. I was going to say I'm going to get a little political here, but it's Fox. How do they view the live? You see where I'm going?
Yeah, I do. No doubt. But that's going to be a conversation for all of them, though.
Right.
Every network there is.
Right. I still think before it's on something like that, I think we will see it. Now, it's already on free on YouTube, but I think I can see like an Amazon Prime.
See, that may be where it has to start with the streaming thing. And speaking of streaming, we've got a suggestion.
Hulu.
We got a suggestion. Why not, Paragon TV? Big Oak TV. We'll take over.
We will definitely do it if the money's right.
You and I can.
Wow, did I say that? Is that fair to say? I mean,
if there's one thing it appears about the LIV Golf Tour, the money's going to be right.
The money's going to be fantastic. We just got to figure out how to shoot golf. That is the hardest sport to shoot without an army of photographers.
Well, that's the beauty of this, Jared. With all the
money,
we can
hire all
those. We can hire all of them. Wrestling away the best PGA Tour.
And oh, by the way, we're going to need a yacht.
You know, if we did get that contract with LIV, we could get a private plane. You know what we could do then? If we fly around in a private jet.
What could we do?
We could pretend like we care about climate change, like the rest of them do. They fly around in private planes.
Right. Right.
Would that put us in the John Kerry, Justin Trudeau mix?
Kardashian, Taylor Swift. I think they're getting a lot of flack for it,
too. We could set up on our high, like on our, what do you call that? We could hi-hat everybody. Look down on them. Look down on the plebes and say, hey, buy you an electric car while we fly around in our private jet. It's for the environment. All right. College football off the field.
We'll stick with our Hummer.
Yeah, we're already doing our part to damage the environment
with the
gas-guzzling Hummer.
Oh, boy. So where are we?
Yeah, it's not fun watching the PGA anymore without the guys that went to live. I think the timing of that is about – it's not fun to watch these anyway. That's the only issue with the British – being the last major in July.
Yeah.
It's, you know, people might watch the playoffs now, but man, as soon as that one's over, it's kind of like, well, is it April yet? You know, is it time for the Masters or the Players? You know, where are we at on that? Because, you know, we always had the PGA in August. As a matter of fact, it'd be this week in the old schedule. And then the Players went back to March, the PGA went to May. And now, you know, here we are left with, you know, they've tried to do what they can for the wraparound season. So the new season starts in a few weeks. But nobody cares, you know, because the big names aren't playing anyway. And now to the point on the text line, and the big names aren't there, you know.
Yeah,
so.
Well, I see where he's coming from, but I kind of said that a few weeks ago as soon as the British was open. Or the British Open was – the Open was done. Blah, spit it out. And I thought we'd see more.
Oh, for sure.
Go, and then come next spring. That's why I said between now and then, these next few months, you know, we're going to see more of these court rules. You're going to see that little fight. It's like, hey, you know, we're over here now, but we're going to want to come back for the majors. And that's where I'm just sitting back, okay, let's see how this goes.
That's right. That's right. Yeah, as soon as these playoffs are over, certain guys are eliminated from the playoffs, there's going to be more. And you know, LIV, the one thing they have in their favor is supply and demand. There's only 48 dudes.
Yeah, that's
You know,
it's a good point.
It's only 48, and there were some reports last night that the 48 for next year is already set. So did they know what we don't right now is the question. Now, I'm going to 100% agree. It's not going to be as much fun watching the Masters if these guys can't play.
Well, yeah.
100% agree. And right now, it's not bothering me because I don't – as much as I love
–
as much, well, no, as much as I love golf, this, even like the playoffs, I don't care about the playoffs. You know what I'm saying? It's I'll watch if it's on, but I'm not overly invested in it like I will be the Players' Championship in March. You know, if those guys can't play, which that's a PGA Tour thing, so the chances there are probably slim, depending on court rulings. But then the Masters in April. Yeah, if you don't see DJ and Bryson and a bunch of those guys and a bunch of former champs. Listen, even as much as I don't like Phil Mickelson, it's still interesting to watch him play Augusta because you haven't there's that in the back of your mind going, yeah, he's 53. Yeah, he doesn't necessarily have the game he used to, but he knows this golf course so well. Can he make a run? Mm-hmm. That's the beauty. I mean, you know, Fred Couples, he, you know, how they're for a 5 or 6 year stretch when he was 52 to 56 or what have you, when he'd be tied for the lead at the midway point of the Masters. Like, oh my gosh, could this be the oldest guy ever to win a major? You know, that kind of thing. So we can, you know, that's where some of that stuff will work itself out. But I agree. If these guys don't end up in the majors, then that's a problem. It's a problem for golf, period, at that point. All right, moving on to the rights deals. Man, the Big Ten is a they're appearing to change the landscape of how we watch college football. It's been widely reported that after a 40-year partnership, the Big Ten and ESPN are separating. So that means no Big Ten after, I think, this year. ESPN, ABC, where you've always flipped. I mean, how boring has it been? It was almost like nap time at 11. As soon as you get done with game day, that 11 o'clock Big Ten game comes on and hit the nap until 2:30.
Especially early season when it's like Indiana versus yes. Central, Directional, Michigan, whoever, and yeah.
So it's not. So that's going to be – they're done. And so, like you were talking about with LIV and PGA, the battle on the field is clearly the Big Ten and the SEC. The battle off the field is now Fox and ESPN. So the Big Ten, though, their A package, which is their best game of the week, is a Fox game. Then everything else kind of ran through to the big to ESPN, to ABC, that kind of thing. That's gone. So now they are courting potential suitors. And it looks like a couple of those are CBS and NBC.
Who have open spots.
Will have. Yeah,
will have.
NBC has, outside of Notre Dame,
right,
all open. CBS will in the after the next 2 years, and because they're losing that 2:30 SEC game of the week, which is going to ESPN and probably ABC, quite honestly. Mm-hmm. It's reported that CBS is willing to pay $350 million a year for that slot to put a Big Ten game on. NBC is reportedly wanting to get more into the college football game, just not Notre Dame, so they can be there every single week. They do the Notre Dame home games, but if Notre Dame's on the road, NBC doesn't have anything. They reportedly want to get there too. And so it's looking like the possibility that CBS and NBC will split the Big Ten B package.
Which is the 11 a.m.?
No, 11 a.m. is Fox. So here's how it could work.
Oh, okay, go ahead.
You're talking 11 a.m., Fox, best game of the week. You flip to as soon as that's over, you flip to CBS 2:30 to get the next best game, and you flip at 7 o'clock to NBC to get the next. So the Big Ten.
And then you let the Pac-12 put you to sleep at 9:30.
on where, well, maybe, but the difference between the two conferences, being the SEC and the Big Ten, the difference between their philosophies couldn't be more different. The Big Ten's trying to spread themselves across multiple networks, whereas the SEC is concentrating with just the ESPN. Of course, ABC comes along with that, but that's still the same family of networks. It's an interesting thing because does it feel to you, it does to me, that ESPN, who has been the major force in college football for two decades now, minimum, since game day really became a thing, It feels to me like they're starting to lose that grip just a little bit over the college football world.
Well, I mean, their share of the pie is getting less, that's for sure. And I'm okay with it. I've never been a guy that's so enamored with what game is on what channel. It's just been for me, what time is it and can I watch it? Does that make sense?
Sure.
The only time I'm put out is if I don't subscribe to a certain channel, which nowadays it's not very likely. They're on the big networks that are on most providers. So, you know, whatever. It's a pride thing, it feels like. ESPN wants to be the big dog. CBS was always the big dog with the SEC, which was the big conference. So they had a claim of being, oh, well, we're the guys. Everyone's tuned in to us to watch the best college football. And now ESPN's got a piece of that SEC action, or will. And it's fun off the field, sure. But I just think it's just the pie. There's more people at, trying to use analogies here, more people eating dessert here. There's more people wanting bigger, equal share of the pie. You know, NBC, I get it. You don't want to be tied down just to one team the entire time. They want to be more involved in this now that the game with NIL and transfer portal appears to be more like a pro model and getting bigger and bigger and bigger year in, year out. More attention's given to it. So they want that attention. They want those advertising dollars. But I go back to, can I watch it? What time? Where?
If this happens this way for the Big Ten, where they're going across all three of those, what does that do for the Pac-12, the Big 12, and the ACC? Because it's been long thought that maybe NBC would be a nice landing spot for the Big 12, along with Notre Dame.
Yeah.
If they're spending all the money, I mean, here's the thing. The CBS contract is reportedly $350 a year, which is seven times more than they're paying for the marquee SEC game. That's what they'd be paying for number two in the Big Ten.
Yeah.
So what, you know, with that amount of money being spent, NBC trying to get in the mix maybe as well, what does that do? What does that do to the other conferences? Does it make them run dry, or are they more of an attractive thing with the Big Ten kind of being out there for NBC? Basically, would you rather have the, because it's obvious here that a lot of these Big 12 games that are being at 11 on Fox, that's going away because it's Big Ten, Big Ten, Big Ten, Big Ten. So now where's your marquee game at if you're the Big 12 or the Pac-12? Where is your marquee game at? And maybe that's where maybe it can help them if they can talk NBC into thinking they're a valuable enough product to be able to kind of force their way into that conversation and that negotiation. Otherwise, you know where they're left with? ESPN scraps.
Yeah. The ESPN 2s. All that. ESPN U.
Or?
ESPN Plus.
Or? Streaming.
Right.
Can they get Amazon? Can they get Hulu? Can they get one of those? You know, Amazon's obviously dipping their toe into the NFL waters. Can they get that to be a thing to where they can recoup the losses that they're going to have when either the negotiation, you know, because they're up next as far as the rights. Can they capitalize, or is this Big Ten move almost the death nail into those? It's got to be to one of them.
Here's the thing.
It can't be to both. They can't both survive.
They're up next, so 25?
Yeah, at the end of 24.
24? That's a short window. But we're talking Big 12 here. Now this is where it comes back onto the field. You got to show you got a winning product that people are going to want to watch. If you're mediocre and you're missing out on playoff berths and your champion has three losses, no one's going to watch that. No one's going to want to watch that. The perception of the league goes down. So that's where on the field, that's why winning's important now. You got to say, hey, we got the big dog. We know OU Texas is leaving, but man, look, we're getting Cincinnati. Look, they're continuing to win. We're getting BYU in here. They're top players in college football. Oklahoma State, Baylor, Iowa State, they'll be back. Look, they're winning the conference. They got one loss. They're in the playoff. You know, if Big 12 continues to show that they can produce quality football at a high level, at a playoff level, people are going to want to watch that because that has implications nationwide. If they can't, then that's what worries me about these deals, about negotiating something like this.
How much – I mean, obviously, you know there's ratings, so it's not like that, but – you know, when you get into the streaming game, it feels to me like the really passionate fan bases are the ones that'll do the work to find it. Does that make sense? Anybody can flip on the TV and flip it to CBS or ESPN or Fox or NBC and find a game. But you have to really be wanting to look for it to go through the process of getting that stuff set up or, mm-hmm. or what have you and looking for it on an Amazon or whatever it is. And I think that's where if the Big 12 wanted to kind of be a little bit more revolutionary with their media deal, and part of it's going to be out of necessity because they may get shut out from the big networks. But I think they can jump on the streaming part of this because the fan bases are passionate to a way different level than what you see in the Pac-12. And I think that's where that can help them be able to show the numbers. You know, they're smaller places. It's just the truth. You know, you're comparing Seattle, Washington, and Phoenix, Arizona, to Stillwater in Manhattan and Ames. But just because there's that many more people in those places doesn't mean that there's that many more people watching those games. And I think that's where the Big 12 conference moving forward has an upper hand. Because people love football in the locations where those schools exist.
Yeah.
The same cannot always be said for Berkeley, California, and Palo Alto, California, you know, and Pullman, well, probably Pullman, there's nothing else to do. So, and that's probably what they think about the places here. Well, there's nothing else to do, so of course they're watching. Well, the point is they're watching. And I think that is the one, the trump card that the Big 12 has in their pocket is the passion of the people that draws eyeballs.
Yes.
Even without Oklahoma and Texas. There's still that passion. And you're right. Cincinnati, BYU, boy, wouldn't this be a perfect time? We talked about the poll yesterday. I mentioned BYU is an unranked team that I think can finish inside the top 20 to 15. Boy, wouldn't this be a perfect time for that to happen with BYU, with all this stuff coming up. Watch Oklahoma State or Baylor win the conference. You know, all those things, you're right, they're all going to matter when it comes down to negotiating these next contracts.
Yes. You know what's coming on the 27th?
Football.
Yeah. You know where?
Nebraska.
Nebraska, Northwestern. You know where they're playing that game?
Soldier Field. Where?
Dublin, Ireland.
What? How did I miss that?
I just now saw that.
You know, Notre Dame and Navy or somebody was supposed to play over there?
And then COVID hit.
That's
yeah.
Right. All right, you want to do KD or you want to do Sam Hartman?
I'd like to talk about the great people, a part of the Brooklyn Nets organization.
Okay, we have
and Kevin Durant.
We have a question on the text line.
Notice I said and Kevin Durant. Go ahead.
Have y'all picked your Big 12 champ yet?
Don't
get to listen every day. Not officially. Have we officially? You want to do that? Are you prepared? You're prepared.
I'm very prepared.
I'm not ready.
I'm a Boy Scout over here when it comes to college football.
I'm not ready
yet. I'm always prepared. You're not ready?
I'm not ready yet.
I got it all, man. I got the records.
Maybe that's what I need to do over the weekend, is get all that nailed down. You got records for all the teams in the Big 12?
Yeah, win, loss, everybody.
Oh, my gosh.
Who they beat, who beat them.
Whoa.
Yeah.
I'll do that over the weekend.
I can show you my format, then you can just fill it out.
We can do it next week. We'll do that next week.
Okay.
At least one of you cares. Hey, listen, I care. I care. I just have not.
Hey, I'll give you a hint of I've got my order of finish, 1 through 10.
Kansas is last.
Kansas is last.
I've got that one.
The real question is, will they win a game?
Oh, absolutely.
They'll win a game?
Oh, yes, they'll win a game.
See, this is what we're talking about.
Texas is still on the schedule, isn't it?
Ho! That's always and always will be an easy joke.
No, seriously, though.
And a funny one.
Lance Leopold. See, I even know their coach. How many of you knew the coach at Kansas? Isn't that his name? I know it's Leopold. I think it's Lance. Anyhow. Think about what he accomplished, though. How many did they win last year? Three?
Oh, yeah, something
three
like that.
Three or four?
Yeah.
Now, you remember he didn't get hired till like a couple of months, like in June or July.
True.
It was late when he got hired.
Well, I mean,
I hate to sit here.
In their defense, they were dealing with the whole NCAA basketball thing, the most important thing on the campus in Lawrence. But
what I'm trying to tell you is, let's look at their schedule. Tennessee Tech, win. At West Virginia, probably not. At Houston, probably not. Duke, win. Iowa State, TCU, they could win one of those. Of course, they've got the win down here against Texas. They could go at Tech and win. Could they win five? They won two last year. They beat South Dakota and Texas.
You think they're getting better?
I think they were way better.
You think they're getting better? Okay. Well, let's face it. Almost beat OU.
They shut out Oklahoma in the first half.
Let's be real here.
Their last
so there was,
their
there
last
was a
three,
pulse there in Kansas.
Oh,
yes.
Listen, their last three, there was a win over Texas. They lost by a field goal at TCU and by less than a touchdown against West Virginia.
Yeah, they could come up against somebody.
I think they might win like three or four.
West Virginia's flapping in the wind. Their coach is on thin ice.
Yeah, I know. They're a really interesting team in the Big 12 to me, because what will JT Daniels look like?
Yeah.
Could he turn – is he Will Greer or is he Austin Kendall?
Right.
That could be an interesting team. But you don't want to go up there to Morgantown to play. But you're right. Neil Brown, 17-18, two losing seasons in his first 3 years. They're interesting to see what they will be. Okay, so KD. We're going to run out of time, which is okay. You get questions on the text line, you talk about them, you move on. We'll hit KD tomorrow.
We need to pick like a date and tease it.
For
this very topic, an entire show dedicated to our college football preview that includes picking conference champs.
Okay, let's do next Wednesday.
And picking our Final Four and even our national title game and all that stuff. So
we'll do next Wednesday.
Next Wednesday is 17th. The Skinny on Sports college football preview show.
Because I think the week of that game you're talking about, that's also the week of high school football starting.
Yeah, we might be doing some high school previewing that day.
That's right.
That week.
So we'll go with next Wednesday.
Love it. Let's do it.
The 17th.
Week
so
from
means,
today. Tune in.
Spoiler alert. I'm going to have Alabama in the playoff.
Well, that's what one will agree on.
Spoiler alert. Going to have Ohio State in the playoff. More than likely.
It's like we've already spoiled a lot of it. Kansas is going to finish last in the Big 12, and Alabama is going to be in the playoff. But what about in between?
I don't know.
The best football team and the worst football team we've talked about.
I may change my mind on who finishes last in the Big 12.
Wow, you're going to think about it. I like
it. I am going to think about it because I see there's only two choices in my mind.
Did we talk about both of them?
Yeah, Tech and Kansas.
Oh, Tech?
Tech.
Tech. Yeah, Tech is, yeah.
See what Joey McGuire can do. I think he was brought in to kind of revamp the recruiting. I don't know about the coaching part of that. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I do think recruiting is going to be a big deal. But I just don't know about how he's able to coach, especially in the first year before you get that recruiting rolling. Because he absolutely has those connections as a legendary high school football coach in the state of Texas.
We'll see how it works.
I can't wait to pick Texas to win the league.
It's like, now you're just bait and switching there.
Oh, I might. I very well might. Quinn Ewers, baby.
Okay.
The number one player in the nation coming out of high school just a year and a half ago.
It's hard for me to hitch my wagon to a guy who's never played a varsity snap.
Good thing you didn't hitch your wagon to Adrian Peterson then back in the day. Everybody have a great Wednesday.
You've been listening to the Skinny on Sports podcast with Aaron Cowan. Be sure to hit that subscribe button to get alerts of when the latest podcast is available. Thanks for listening.